In Jesus' day, after he was resurrected, was Pilate thrown out once and for all? No, he wasn't. Did Herod apologize and come to Jesus and say, sorry, no more taxes, you don't have to, none of the Jews? No, didn't happen. So a lot of things stayed the same. Here we are a week after we celebrated the resurrection, and the disciples still had to walk things out by faith, right? And in many ways, things got harder for them with the resurrected Christ. But they didn't hide out, although they did for a while, and Jesus told them to. I'm talking after Pentecost, they weren't hiding out, although there was some fear there, because it was a tough time. But then the Holy Spirit fell, and they were described, the disciples of the first century church were described as these who have turned the world upside down. Because they were pushing forward with the gospel. They weren't just holding out until Jesus comes back. And I believe God has that same heart for us today. And that's what I want to look at. I think God gave me a verse for us to hide in our hearts and recall it as something to hold on to for 2021, and especially in light of 2020 and what we just came off of. And so we started a few years ago doing memory verses, but it's in the lobby if you haven't seen it, haven't noticed, but it's this year's 2021 River Memory Verse, Romans 15:13, and I want you to just read it with me together. Ready? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that is what I believe God wants us to memorize and hold on to and really own that verse. So I just want to pray and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you that as we gather in your name, you're here with us. Lord, we're here for you, and we're here because of you. And Lord, we thank you that you love us, you loved us first, and that you are firmly on the throne, and we can trust you. And Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and speak to us. Minister to all of us who are going through one thing or another, challenges, disappointments, Lord. We just pray you'd use this time to speak your love and encouragement. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have done corporate memory verses for the last few years, other than last year. Last year was so strange. I just didn't feel like, and we just focused on Jesus all year long. But does anyone remember any of the past memory verses that we did? Just even if you remember the first few words. Yes. Way to go. That's right. That is right. Matthew 22:37. For those of you who didn't hear it, she just quoted it. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then it says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So way to go. That was just 2019. So way to go. There's another one. Prepares the way. Yeah. Psalm 50. Boy, that's going way back. That's going way back. That's right. That's Psalm 50:23, I believe. Yes. He who offers thank offerings, honors God, and prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Way to go. Way to go. That goes way back. I had forgotten about that one. That's so far back. So, you got me. Another one, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then another one, Yes. That's another one that I didn't have in my notes. Yes. That was, we've been doing this longer than I realized. How about be on guard?
Be on guard.
Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. So, whether these are firmly embedded in our hearts and minds is fine, but they are in there. They're in there. And part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to bring them to our remembrance in the right time, in the right season. So, pretty cool. So, I want to tell you, many times over my life, and those are the ones, I think that's all of them that we started doing this years before here. But so years ago, over my lifetime, I'll say, I've had many personal property stolen from me. And you're probably no different, but as teenagers, my dad bought us a Ford Galaxy 500, an old 1966. That was the teenage, that was my brother's, of four brothers and I had this car, and we just put a stereo in it, put Baby Moon hubcaps on it, took the hubcaps off. That's all we did to it. It was stock. And but one night we were at some of us took it to a movie theater, and someone broke into it and stole the stereo out of it. That was the first time. This was in the Chicago suburbs. And then other times, moved to Minnesota and find someone stole my minivan out of our driveway. It's like go out the door for church one day, and I knew I left it in the street. It's like, oh, it's not in the street. It must be in the driveway. So I go back in the house and come out the other door to the driveway. Oh, it's not in the driveway. It's got to be in the street. And I go back in the house. It was just a strange thing. And it's gone. And it's gone. And we found it, reported to the police. Someone stole it, and found it halfway to Kenyon on the side of Highway 60 there, and they ran out of gas. So I always tell my wife, the moral of the story is keep very little gas in your tank at all times. Drive on fumes for your own good. No, that's a terrible moral that she tells me. No, that's not what you want to learn from it. But I've had... I'll get to that. That is the key. Don't leave your keys in the ignition. Then I've had fishing tackle and fishing poles stolen out of my... One night, I put it in the back topper of the truck, and I go out to put it away the next day, and it's gone. Someone stole 15 years worth of fishing tackle, which... so that was disappointing. But other things, a few other things. But I wanna make out a couple points from that thought as I go on to this verse, and I'm talking about this verse. So number one, only things of value get stolen. Yeah. Right? Stereos, fishing tackle. I've had a camera, even the coins, the change in the council. They've taken that. One thing I've never had stolen out of a vehicle, and raise your hand if you've had, floor mats? Floor mats of your car? And, okay, not a hand. So I've never woken up in the morning and said, oh, I left the car unlocked, and I run out, and yes, the ice scraper is still here. Whew! Has anyone done that? Ever had an ice scraper stolen out of, you know, snow? Even the nice snow ones, you know, big brush? Never. Because they're not of value. Only things that are of value get stolen. Although we were in Mongolia one time and we were traveling in this tiny little convenience store, gas station in the middle of nowhere. And I mean middle of nowhere. Gorgeous, gorgeous. If you ever get a chance to go to Mongolia, do it. And here, the entrance into the store is a floor mat, a rubber mat, with a chain going to it, and it's padlocked to the railing, because that apparently is something to steal. And that's just really, I actually took a picture of it. It's like, wow. But we don't have that happen here, right? We don't need to chain our floor mats. But the devil steals valuable things in our lives. He doesn't go after the cheap, inexpensive stuff. He robs us of joy and peace. And And that is what he's after. Because Jesus says those are worth a lot. The joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. When you get your joy stolen, I mean, it is a hard thing to encourage somebody who is discouraged. When they're discouraged, everything. When we are discouraged, everything shuts down. So of course the devil wants to go after your joy. And he wants to steal that away from you. And he wants to steal your peace. When Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, and he said, if you go into a house and you're tempted to lose your peace, it's like, keep your peace and say thank you and go to a different place. Because it's so important to keep your peace. And even the word trust is similar to the word faith. It's a similar word, similar meaning. Trust. I trust the Lord. I have faith in God. And the scripture talks about faith is of more value, more precious than gold. So, of course, that faith is what the devil's trying to steal by robbing you of peace and joy. Because if you're robbed of peace and joy, you start wondering about God. Are you God? And so he tries to steal these things. And in this past year, there was a whole lot of that going on. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge last year to hold on to peace and joy and trust in the Lord. The second point I want to make along those lines is we can make it tough or easy to get robbed. We can make it easy by leaving the keys in the ignition overnight. We had at that time a single car driveway, and to get, I had two vehicles. I had to pull the van out, put it in the street, and get my car out, and then usually I'd put the van back in before dark, at night, and take the key out. Well, I left it in the street with the key in the ignition one night, and somebody walked by and saw the key in there and took it for a joyride. They literally took our minivan field hopping. There was mud. It was like a mud bog in all the wheel wells. And the mirrors had scrapes like they drove through woods or something. I don't know what. They banged up the mirrors even. So one night, but I made it really easy. I might as well put a sign. The keys are right here. Here's a sign. Take this vehicle right here. Help yourself. But you'll need gas. But you'll need some gas. Not much gas in there. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes we make it easier for him than it should be by taking our eyes off God.
That's right.
We take our eyes off God. We start looking at our checkbook's sitting really good. Or this relationship is sitting really good. Or this, my job is sitting really good. Or whatever. We get our eyes on things and get them off of God. And then things sprout wings and go bye-bye sometimes. And it's like, oh, my things, my joy, my peace, my confidence, my security. And we should never have our confidence in things.
Yeah, that's right.
We enjoy things, as Ray said. Nothing wrong with enjoying your things. No guilt or shame here on that, but God wants to be first at the top of the list of who we are trusting. So, I saw my joy and peace drive right out the driveway. But we need to put our confidence in the Lord. And in doing so, when we do that, we don't want to make it easy for the devil. All right. So it says, first part of that verse, Romans 15, says, may the God of hope. Now, this is who God is. This is who he is. Now, there's so many examples that I didn't get into it too much, but kids' games, video games, even world religions, the God of, and fill in the blank, there's the God of war, there's the God of water, there's the God of earth or God of wind or God of fire or God of, thunder and all these things, right? There's these different games, and it's a common thing because we all understand God of something means something. I like to watch professional golf, and this is the Masters weekend. And so every now and then, I don't watch it a ton, but a lot of times Every now and then you'll hear the commentators say, oh, the golf gods must have smiled on that shot or on that player because of something amazing just happened. And it always bugs me. It's like the golf gods. What do they mean by that? Think about what does he mean by that, the golf gods. Okay, he's saying the ones who control the wind, the trajectory, the gravity, the humidity, the texture of the grass, the ones who are controlling all this, the speed, the height, the all these angles, smiled on him, meaning they gave him favor or her, and that ball just went right in. And what they're saying is the gods control it all, and are working for that thing, meaning the golfer. Well, the God of hope controls all things to do with hope. And we know the golf gods aren't real, and that's ridiculous. But we know the idea is true with the God of hope. Jesus, the Son of God, the Father God, the Holy Spirit, the Triune God, is the God who controls circumstances, who works with circumstances, just like the golf gods work with conditions and the golfer. The God of hope works with conditions and us. And he actually does order things and helps us in things. He knows our experience. He knows our future. He knows our weaknesses, our strengths. He knows everything about us. He knows all of our filters that we see. He knows everything about where we're going, what we need right now, and knows how to provide and loves us and laid his life down for us so that we can have hope, so that we do have hope. He's knowledgeable about everything, and so to put your trust in the Lord is putting your trust in the God of hope that gives hope. And then it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. This comes from him. Yeah. He is the source of joy and peace. And he has so much he can fill every one of us with it. He is the God of hope, and he's not just a theory, but he's a practical applicator. You can go to him for joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And then real joy, you know, real joy and peace come from him. Lots of money doesn't bring it, or there'd be nothing but happy and peaceful movie stars, rock stars, politicians, and professional athletes. And we know there's some problems there, right? They're not filled with joy and peace. Money doesn't do it. Money will not provide that. Real joy comes from deep within, from having peace with God, and peace from God that starts with having peace with God. Because of the cross.
Amen.
Yes, because of the cross. And these events of 2020, I felt robbed. I felt mugged. I felt mugged of peace and joy this past year. And I know the Lord. I'm perfect. I'm a pastor, right? And it's like,
amen.
Yeah, amen. No, I'm strong in my faith, generally, usually, and yet I felt rattled. It's like, wow, what is going on in this world? This is absolute insanity. And so it was a fight. It was a battle to keep my eyes on the Lord, keep my heart and my focus on the one who doesn't change. The victorious one, the almighty one, the risen one, who defeated sickness, disease, and death, all sin and death. He overcame every enemy, including the last and the greatest enemy, which is death. So it was a fight, but the enemy is always trying to steal. But But peace and joy come from the Lord. And Jesus says, not as the world gives do I give peace. Not like the world. How does the world give peace? The world gives peace when your checkbook is sitting really good, or your debit card. And when your car's full of gas. Yep. Oh, there's peace. You know, when you have stuff, when you're in the woods, communing with
woods.
When you're in traffic. So there's a lot of thieves of peace, but circumstances being good cannot supply. They don't supply. And I've heard enough testimonies of wealthy people. We've all heard, you know, in the news, wealthy people that have reached the pinnacle of their whatever and have found it's empty. It's like, is this it? Is this it? They got the gold medals, or they got the Super Bowl ring, or they got the whatever. And their testimony at times, and this is the ones that they're willing to actually share, is it doesn't satisfy. Because there's still this gnawing at them. And until you get Jesus first place in your life, you will not be satisfied. You will not be fulfilled. You will not find real peace and joy. And so it's always a challenge to get distracted and get off course. And so this verse, I think, puts us really well back on track. So not as the world gives, but James 1:2 says, count it all joy. And I don't mean all joy. And for those of you who weren't here last week, I gotta share this. I was sharing a scripture from last Sunday, and I made a typo in my rush to get this done. Go ahead and advance that. It said, concerning himself and all the scriptures. And I happened to notice that. Normally, I'm not looking that closely, but I happened to notice it says all. Oh, all. And it became a joke. All scriptures, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all. The gospel according to all. And so, I had fun with it last week. And so this week, I'm going to my office, and I don't know what day it was, but I walk in my office, and sitting on my desk is this, a small bottle of spice. I don't know who did that, but thank you. Al Pastor. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know who put it there, but you guys, you have a great sense of humor. It's a spice, sweet and salty. I don't know what it does, but it was pretty funny. I had to share that. But so count it all joy. Say all joy. Two L's. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that your faith, the testing of your faith, and that's, again, faith and trust. The testing of your trust, the testing of your faith. It's the same. It's one and the same. The testing of your faith produces patience, and it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Good circumstances do not equal happiness.
That's right.
Right? Because even your good circumstances will be tested, because God is looking for you to have faith, not in good circumstances, but in Him, right? So He will allow the things to fall apart. He will allow your fishing tackle to get stolen. He'll allow. He's not the God of that. He's not the. He doesn't order that. He's not the God of wickedness or any evil. But He allows things because He is a jealous God, and He wants your heart first, more, because He's your Father. And He wants that relationship with you. He doesn't just want to provide for you, get you out of trouble, and then see you later, and let me know if you have any trouble, and we'll be back. We'll get together again. It's like, no, He wants an ongoing relationship with you in a daily way, through good times and bad times. So it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. This is the first part. That's the first part. And really, this is the request of God. May God do this. And then, it's our part is next, is as you trust in him. May he fill you with peace and joy as you trust in him. And that's our part. That's what we have to do. And that's our will comes into play. This is where it all matters. Do we trust him? Trust is faith. Faith pleases God because he knows so much fights against you having faith in him. He knows you are being battered by the world, the devil, your own flesh. And so when he sees that despite all those enemies coming against you, you still say, Lord, I love you and I thank you for who you are in my life. He's like, that's so honoring to God to hear that. It's just like any parent would love to hear that, knowing that they can't do everything that they would want to do for their child, but their child has just an overflowing heart of gratefulness towards you. It's like you just want to work all the harder to bless them and to provide and give. And so God is really honored by that kind of faith that trusts him when all things, when so many things seem out of order. And then it says, so that you may overflow with hope. And there's a reason for it. May God do this as we do this, so that this. And this is, I'm just wanting to talk this through and get you to have this hidden in your heart, in your mind, your spirit, so that there's a reason for God to want to fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, so that you'll overflow with hope. And what is hope? It's seeing beyond now. It's seeing a lot that's not visible, that's not evident. It's seeing something that's not there. It's speaking what is not as though it were. And it's not trying harder. It's not just trying harder or thinking positive thoughts. It's seeing beyond the craziness of this life and the disorder of this life. It's knowing the Word of God, knowing the promises of God, and fixing your eyes on him and on those things. On him, not just what he does, but on him and what he does and what he promises. Which is a value of ours at this church. I want you to know the Word of God. Yeah. We want you to understand and know your Bible, to know the Old Testament, know the New Testament, know how they relate, how they matter to each other, know the stories of the history of Israel, know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, know the significance of Joseph. Why is Joseph so much like a Jesus figure, a Christ foreshadow? David, you know, all that. I just want you to know the Scripture, because as you know the Scripture, you will be fueled with tangible reasons to have hope.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Not just think harder, try harder, be more positive. Like, deny reality. Create your own reality. You know, it's like, no, I want you to know this.
Yeah.
Because this is reality.
Yeah.
And there's hope in here. And the author of this. So that's why we have small groups. That's why we encourage, and we're developing more and more opportunities for you to learn the Word and learn the ways of God and learn the motives of God, why he wrote what he wrote, why his ways are what they are, why he wants you to put it into practice and not just know it and or not just show up on a Sunday, but live it 7 days a week. Do it. Be a doer of the Word. That's why we have reading plans. And it's tough to put it into practice. There's not a lot of support outside of in the general world realm. But so often, if you don't know this, you don't know what you're supposed to put into practice when you go out there. So hope to overflow. So again, that's the ability to see beyond. And it's ours by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not us trying harder, thinking positive thoughts, you know, grit our teeth, and it's, we just receive. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have that overflowing hope. As we trust in Him, He does so much of the rest. So, and knowing God's Word teaches us all about the Holy Spirit. We need to learn about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He came to do, how He honors the Father and the Son, how the harmony, the relationship of the triune God work together. The Father sent His Son, the Son sends the Spirit, but the Spirit is a promise of the Father. And it's just it's a beautiful, amazing, marvelous thing to understand the different purposes and relationship strengths of the triune God. Amen. So I just felt like God wants us to memorize this verse and speak it out loud. And I'm just going to close with this story. When I was a kid, I'm trying to remember, I would guess it was about 7 or 8. I was too young to have ever shot even a BB gun. Here's an image to give you the idea. So it was before color was invented. So this was back, it was before color. And no, that's not me, and that's not my uncle, but that's gives you the idea. So it just sets the mood. So I'm with my dad and a couple brothers, and we went to his brother's place, my uncle, who lives out in the country, and that he was shooting 22s and just having a little target practice. And I had never shot a BB gun, like I said. I was young enough to have never shot a gun. And here's a 22, and I was really excited to shoot a 22 for the first time. And we got tin cans set up in his back field there, and it was my turn to shoot it. And I remember, old enough to remember this, I remember, and I'm right-handed, so I'm holding it up on my right shoulder, but I'm left eye strong, okay? And so I'm plastering I'm trying to, like, smash my cheek, and I can't get the front sight, or the front sight with, you know, the rear, or what. Trying to get the two sights in place, but I can't get it over there because I'm looking through the wrong eye. And I didn't understand that. I'm a kid, and I remember my uncle saying, no, you have to, here, close this eye. It's like, I can't, how do you, And I remember struggling to, and then, oh, when this eye, which is my right eye on the right versus a left-handed, you'd want your left eye. Everyone get that? There was nothing wrong with the front sight and, you know, the two sights. They were aligned with the barrel.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with the rifle. The problem was my aligning with the perfectly aligned rifle was the trouble. So I couldn't get it, so I'm missing. And they finally realized I got the wrong eye open. And in many times, the Word of God is perfectly in alignment. All the time. All the time, yep, even all the time. It's perfectly aligned with itself. It's true. It's true. Where we get off is when we aren't aligned with it. When we're trying to look at it from some skewed way, and so we're not hitting the mark. And so we have to align our vision. Get our vision in alignment with what is perfectly already aligned. And so that's what I feel like that verse does. It helps us align our lives. Trust the Lord. Trust Him according to His Word. Trust Him by the evidence of who He is, by the experience of how He's been gracious to you in your past. Remember how faithful He's been to you. Bring that into now. Has He disappointed you, let you down? No. He's never let us down. He has been always several steps ahead of us, providing, guiding, blessing, assuring, encouraging. And so we don't want to make it easy for the devil. Don't make it easy for the devil to discourage you. He'll have a much tougher time trying to steal your joy and peace when your sights are set on trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen? The God of hope. So, I want you to write down Romans 15:13 somewhere. Put it where you'll see it daily. Write it on notes at work, at home, in the mirror, whatever. I just want to encourage you to meditate on it day and night. Meditate on this truth, this encouragement from God, and expect to see an increase in joy and peace and overflowing hope. Amen. Let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust everything you say and do. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy towards us. Thank you that, as Psalm 2 says, the nations rage, but you laugh at those who try to conquer you. You laugh at your enemies. Lord, we just know that you are not done with what you're doing in America or on the earth. We know that you have only good in mind. And you are the victorious one. And you call us to follow you and to trust you. Trust you deliberately. Trust you specifically according to your word. We thank you, God, for your living word. Lord, help us to take it to heart and to set our sights on it daily. And just, we know you are faithful to your part, that you will bring overflowing hope and fill us with joy and peace. Just thank you for this week. We pray you'd bless it. We pray in Jesus' name. And one last announcement I want to make. Last week, we also, for Easter, we asked for a special offering to be received for pregnancy options. And Gina wasn't here, so she didn't even know about it. And almost $2,000 came in, so it's still not done. Yep. Just about $2,000. It's not too late. If you'd like to give to pregnancy options, you can, and 100% of it is going to bless them. So have a great day. Have a great week. Bless you guys.